KJAN, Radio Atlantic.
And at 7:05, it's mostly clear and 20 degrees here in Atlantic. We look for skies to become mostly cloudy today. Chance of light snow or flurries this afternoon at a high of 36. Good morning, I'm Rick Hansen with KJAN News, brought to you by Jeff Moranz of Stiefel Investments. In Southwest Iowa news, the Montgomery County Sheriff's Office reports deputies arrested 48-year-old Carrie Lynn Pace of Villisca last night. Pace was taken into custody at around 10:20 p.m. on an active warrant for violation of parole. She was transported to the Montgomery County Corrections and held on a $20,000 cash bond. A traffic stop just after 1 p.m. Wednesday in Council Bluffs resulted in the discovery of numerous boxes containing about 1,500 pounds of suspected marijuana worth an estimated street value of $4.5 million. Council Bluffs police say the traffic stop was initiated on Interstate 80 eastbound at the 7.5-mile marker. A 2016 Penske box truck was pulled over for speeding. The driver, 35-year-old Dmitry Brusov of Los Angeles, California, was issued a citation. A Council Bluffs police service dog was deployed and alerted to the presence of narcotics in the vehicle. A subsequent search of the truck uncovered 61 cardboard boxes containing the suspected marijuana. Borisov was subsequently booked into the Pottawatomie County Jail on charges that include possession with the intent to deliver marijuana over 100 kilograms and under 1,000 kilograms, prohibited acts, a drug tax stamp violation, and possession of drug paraphernalia. Well, a Creston man found guilty of beating his girlfriend to death with a hammer has died in prison. Radio Iowa's Dar Danielson reports.
The Iowa Department of Corrections says 72-year-old Rick Bird died of natural causes Wednesday. Bird was found guilty of first-degree murder in Union County and the death of 47-year-old Linda Trankel in February of 1997. Bird claimed that Trankel came at him with a table leg and hammer during an argument, but prosecutors said Bird hit Trankel in the head several times with a drywall hammer after she slapped him. Bird started serving his life sentence on October 24th of 1997. I'm Dar Danielson.
Cass County Sheriff's Office reports three recent arrests. On New Year's Day, 24-year-old Daniel Albert Ward of Griswold was arrested for criminal mischief in the second offense, a Class D felony, and a serious misdemeanor charge of criminal mischief in the fourth degree. He was taken to the Cass County Jail and later released on a $6,000 bond. As we previously reported, on Tuesday, 25-year-old Kyler J. O'Brien of Erling was arrested on aggravated misdemeanor charges of driving while barred, eluding, and carrying weapons, along with reckless driving. Those charges are the result of a pursuit that began in Anita late Monday night. O'Brien was taken to the Cass County Jail and later released on a $6,000 bond. And on December 28th, the Cass County Sheriff's Office charged 21-year-old Drew Henry Miller with assault causing bodily injury with regard to an assault that occurred in the Cass County Jail. Miller was already being held in the jail for various drug charges and a probation violation. He remains held in the Cass County Jail on nearly $60,000 bond. Officials at the Iowa Department of Public Health said Tuesday that the Menlo Fire and Rescue, EMS, or Emergency Medical Services, has 20 days to request a hearing on disciplinary action that may be imposed on the organization with regard to several deficiencies that were noted in a 9-page probation civil penalty statement. The civil penalty amounts to $800. The report says IDPH may place an EMS service on probation and levy a civil penalty when it finds an EMS service has committed certain acts or offenses. Events leading up to the department's actions began in October of 2014 when several deficiencies were noted and resolved with technical assistance. In January of 2015, Menlo Fire and Rescue received a citation and a warning for failing to correct two deficiencies related to EMS vehicle and equipment standards. Upon reinspection in September of 2017, additional deficiencies were found and resolved with technical assistance. During a reinspection in October of 2018, repeated deficiencies were noted and again resolved with technical assistance. The same could be said for a reinspection in November of 2019. But at that time, there were also repeated deficiencies that were noted and not resolved with technical assistance with regard to ambulance and non-transport service program operation requirement or requirements. The statement called for all deficiencies identified in the IDPH action to be corrected and submitted to the EMS field coordinator within 30 days of the action becoming final. Full payment of an $800 civil penalty must be submitted within 90 days of the department's action becoming final. You can read that entire 9-page document through a link in the same story on the news page at KJAN.com. And three flood-prone sections of Interstate 29 in southwest Iowa were raised last year, and while they're still not flood-proof, the Iowa Department of Transportation says they're ready to weather future flooding. The DOT's Austin Yates says I-29 and nearby I-680 are typically impacted the same way during a flood.
Right now, with all this work done, I-29 and I-680 will be able to remain open together at the same time. We're not going to have to close one before the other.
The three sections were raised different heights, ranging from 2 inches to 14 inches to more than 2 feet. Yates says the new asphalt is a big clue that something has changed, but drivers may not notice the road is higher, and he says that's kind of like target practice.
If you're aiming at a target that's 50 feet away and then you raise that target up a foot, your eye isn't going to need to move to see that.
Three sections include northbound I-29 from Honey Creek to Loveland, a stretch of southbound I-29 north of Crescent, and a stretch near Blackbird Marsh. Yates says the flooding would have still closed those parts of I-29 in March, but not in September or June if the changes had already been in place. In our funeral announcements, Captain Billy G. Cunningham, age 80, of Eagan, Minnesota, died Sunday at his home. A mass of Christian burial for Captain Billy Cunningham will be this morning at 10:30 at St. Patrick's Catholic Church in Walnut. Pauly Jones Funeral Home of Avoca has arrangements. Teresa Jans, age 54, of St. Joseph, Missouri, died December 22nd. Graveside services for Teresa Jans will be today at 11 o'clock in the Harlan Cemetery. A celebration of life luncheon will follow at the Harlan American Legion Building. Pauly Jones Funeral Home in Harlan has arrangements. Nancy Eisminger, age 68, a native of Corning, died Monday in Johnston. A visitation of the family of Nancy Eisminger will be held from 4 until 6 p.m. today at the Lutheran Church of Hope in West Des Moines. A memorial service will be held 11 a.m. Saturday at the church. Gary L. Anderson, age 79, of Atlantic, died December 20th. A celebration of life for Gary Anderson will be this evening at 6 o'clock at the venue on Walnut Street in Atlantic. Roland Funeral Home of Atlantic has arrangements. Charlie Sorensen, age 84, of Audubon, died December 19th. Memorial services for Charlie Sorensen will be tomorrow at 10:30 at Exira Lutheran Church. Hockenberry Funeral Home of Atlantic has arrangements. Darlene Hansen, age 88, of Audubon, died December 22nd. A celebration of life memorial service for Darlene Hansen will be Saturday at 11 a.m. at the Harvest of Hope Church in Audubon. Kessler Funeral Home of Audubon has arrangements. Rick Anderson, age 58, of Atlantic, died December 15th. A celebration of life with the family of Rick Anderson will be Saturday from noon until 3 at 411 Walnut Street in Atlantic with lunch served. Roland Funeral Home is assisting the family. Dwayne Schmidt, age 86, of Audubon, died December 31st. Funeral services for Dwayne Schmidt will be tomorrow at 1 o'clock at Our Savior's Lutheran Church in Audubon. Kessler Funeral Home of Audubon has arrangements. Charles Skays, age 96, of Indianola and formerly of Messina, died December 22nd. Memorial services for Charles Skays will be Saturday at 2 o'clock at the Village in Indianola, their heritage room. Overton Funeral Home of Indianola has arrangements. Craig McFarland, age 60, of Stewart, died December 25th. A gathering of family and friends of Craig McFarland will be Saturday from 2 until 5 at the Stewart American Legion Building. Johnson Funeral Home in Stewart has arrangements. John Brewer, age 91, of Greenfield, died December 26th. A celebration of life for John Brewer will be on Monday at 10:30 at the Cornerstone Fellowship Church in Greenfield with a luncheon to follow. Steen Funeral Home in Greenfield has arrangements. Julie Ann Christensen, age 53, of Urbandale and formerly of Audubon, died December 31st. Funeral services for Julie Ann Christensen will be Monday at 10:30 at Our Savior's Lutheran Church in Audubon. Kessler Funeral Home of Audubon has arrangements. Ruth Richter, age 82, of Atlantic, died Wednesday at CCMH. A mass of Christian burial for Ruth Richter will be on Monday at 10:30 at the Saints Peter and Paul Catholic Church in Atlantic. Roland Funeral Home of Atlantic has arrangements. John Christensen, age 75, of Mesa, Arizona, and formerly of Harlan, died December 27th. A celebration of life for John Christensen will be on January 11th at 11 a.m. at the Pauly Jones Funeral Home in Harlan. Mary Hoig, age 93, of Atlantic, died Thursday at the Heritage House. Funeral services for Mary Hoig are pending at Roland Funeral Home in Atlantic. LaDonna Morgan, age 87, of Greenfield, died Wednesday at the Village in Indianola. Funeral services for LaDonna Morgan are pending at Steen Funeral Home in Greenfield. The news was brought to you by Jeff Morenz of Stiefel Investments. Give him a call at 712-243-5500. I'm Rick Hansen reporting.